It's a wonderful delight to be with you this morning. I appreciate the invitation to come and be with you. I'm very thankful to be at Cool Springs Church. I treasure the friendship and fellowship of your pastor. He has been, when he called me to the stand, he made reference to Elder Michael Hathaway. Dana punched me. She said, "Elder Michael Hathaway." It's kind of strange for Brother Sam. He's old enough to be at least my daddy, but he calls me Elder Michael Hathaway. But I'm thankful for his friendship. He means so much to me in my ministry. I enjoyed your singing this morning. I appreciate the good prayer by Brother Wesley. And I hope that you will continue to be in a mind of prayer. The scripture says, except the Lord build the house, they that build it labor in vain. And I think an extension of that thought would be, except the Lord bless the preacher preaches, but in vain. So I need your prayers, and I need the Lord's help this morning. If you have your scriptures and would like to turn with us, I'd like to look at a piece of a day in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read from Mark chapter 5. And I'll read a passage, and with the Lord's help, I'll try to bring some thoughts out of this passage. Beginning in chapter 21, Mark chapter 5, verse 21, "And when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard that Jesus came in the press, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. I know that's a very lengthy reading, and we're not finished reading. There's a rest of the story that we'll read when we get to it. But I want to try to speak to you this morning on three characters in this story. There's four main characters. There's Jairus and his daughter who is sick and who will die. And then there's a woman who has an issue, problem that she's had for 12 years and can't do anything about it. Nobody else can do anything about it. In And then the fourth character is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the main character, isn't he? He's the main character of every story in the Bible. He's the main character of the story, all the stories in the Old Testament. You remember when Abraham brought his son up on the mountaintop of Moriah? Jesus is not mentioned in that story by name, but he's the main character of that story, isn't he? When David faced Goliath on the battlefield, Jesus is not mentioned in that story, but he's still the main character of that story. He's the main character of every story in the Bible. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown in that fiery furnace, and when Daniel was placed in that den of lions, Jesus Christ isn't mentioned by name in those stories, but he is the main character of every story of the Bible. And if we fail to see him, we miss the point along the way. The beginning of this story, it starts out, it says, when Jesus, it starts out with Jesus, when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side. If we read the previous part of this chapter, we would read that he's coming from the land of the Gadarenes, where he has just spoken to some demons who had possessed a man and thrown them into a herd of swine, and they ran down a hill into the sea, and the Bible says they drowned into the sea. If we were to back up a little bit before, on the same day, Jesus got in a ship with his disciples and said, let us go over to the other side. And the Bible says his disciples followed him. I've tried to preach a little bit about that Wednesday night. That's what disciples do, don't they? They follow the Lord. They had no idea that the storm was coming, but we know the rest of the story, that as they got in the ship, a great storm arose. Jesus spoke to the storm, and he stilled the storm. Jesus, when he got to where he was going, spoke to the demon-possessed man and cast the demons out of that man. When he got back to the other side of the shore where our story takes place, he speaks to a diseased woman, and that disease goes away immediately, straightway, without delay. And then at the end of the chapter, he's going to speak to a dead little girl, 12-year-old little girl, and he's going to bring her back to life. You know what the moral of the story is? Jesus is the answer, child of God, of all the problems that you and I face in this world, no matter what they are. If he can cast out demons, and he can speak to the winds and the waves and the storm, and he can speak to a diseased woman that had been dead for 12 years, and if he can speak to the dead and they come back to life, pray tell me, what problem do you and I have that he does not have the answer for? I'm thankful to preach a Savior like that. I'm thankful to have the privilege to remind us together about what great God that we have. And he's on the throne. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and he fell at his feet, and he tells him that his daughter is at the point of death. She's sick, and he believes, though, that if Jesus would come, lay his hands on her, that she would be healed. And Jesus goes with Jairus, and much people are following him and thronged him. I want us to see that picture unfold in our minds. You know, earlier in the day, when he went over to the land of Gennesaret, the land of the Gadareans, he spoke to one man. He spoke to one individual and saved him from a legion of devils. And we don't have any record that he said anything else to anybody else. And in fact, they were wanting him to leave. You remember that? They wanted the answers to all their problems to get out. And he comes back to the other side of the sea, and there's multitudes thronging him. What side of the sea would you rather be on? I'm thankful to come to Cool Springs Church this morning on this side of the sea, where there are people who are collected together to worship and want to spend time with the Savior and see him and worship him and glorify him and throng him, as it were, if we could. And a certain woman derailed his mission, right? No, I'm going to tell you, this woman didn't catch Jesus off guard, not even a little bit. Caught Jairus off guard. I can see Jairus in my mind while this woman comes up. You know, urgency. His little girl's about to die. He knows it. And this woman that has this issue of blood comes up and interrupts the Lord's mission. Well, it didn't interrupt the Lord's mission. It interrupted Jairus' mission. And I can just see Jairus looking at his watch. You know, we got to hurry. Lord, my little girl, she's about to die. And you're spinning. We can come back to this woman. I don't know that's what Jairus is thinking. That's what Michael Hathaway would be thinking. Lord, let's go over. Let's heal my little girl before she dies. And we can come back and fix the rest of these people's problems. My problem is bigger than their problem. You ever been there? You ever been Jairus? I think we can see ourselves in all three of these people. I think we can see ourselves in this woman who had a problem. She had a problem for 12 years. She had an issue of blood. And if we were to go back, if we were to take the time to go back and look at Leviticus chapter 15, we would educate ourselves on what that really meant for her. She was unclean. She couldn't have the fellowship with God's people that you and I have today. She couldn't go into the temple or go into the synagogue. She was unfit for public worship. She was lonely because it was really against the Mosaic law for anybody to really have anything to do with her because of her issue. And she had it 12 long years. And the Bible tells us that we just read that she had suffered many things of many physicians, and she had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered. And not only was she nothing bettered, the Bible tells us that in spite of not being better, she grew worse for 12 long years. And you know, I think we can see a picture of you and I that have, anybody not have problems in the house this morning? Anybody not have any problems going on in your life, in your family, at your workplace? Raise your hand. I want to visit with you this afternoon. If you don't have any problems, I want to know what your secret is. I tell you, this house today is full of problems. May not be this problem, but it's full of problems, full of things, full of issues that we have. And this woman had been to every physician available. And she had spent every dime that she had. And not only did she not get better, she got worse. And I think you and I can see a picture of what happens to a child of God when a child of God seeks the world for the answer for their problems. Amen. You ever been there? You ever sought the world? You ever sought worldly pleasures? You ever sought, I know people today that are seeking Dr. Alcohol to answer their problems. Yeah. Dr. Drugs to answer their problems. You know, that will not only will that not fix your problems, it'll make your problems worse. I know people today that are seeking doctor recreation and doctor what's the word I'm thinking of? Seeking help everywhere outside of the great physician. But you know what? The great physician, child of God, is the only one who has the answer and the remedy for all of life's problems. Amen. Aren't you glad that we know that this morning? Amen. She didn't know that. I mean, I'm thankful she learned along the way that there was one named Jesus and that she could come. And you remember what she said? She said, if I may but touch his garment. She came in the press behind him. And I get the implication that she didn't want to be seen. She was coming in secret. I don't think she wanted anybody to know about the problem that she had. But don't you know Jesus knows every problem that you and I have, whether we tell him or not, whether we tell anybody or not, Jesus knows. This woman didn't catch Jesus by surprise. He saw her coming long before he even arrived on the shore. He knew that there was going to be a woman that had an issue that nobody could help but him. And she was going to come to him that day and he was going to fix it and make all things well. You and I have come to worship the Jesus who doeth all things well.
Amen.
And you remember what she said in another of the Gospels. She said, if I could just touch the hem, if I could just brush up against the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. And she pressed her way through that crowd. You know, she was deliberate. She was committed to getting to the Savior because she finally saw the one, the only one, who had the answer for her problem. How many times do you and I, reminds me of old country song that talked about how that this fella had done all the things that he could do. You know, he turned to one thing and he went one direction and he asked another source and he says, and now I turn to you. How many times do you and I put the great physician on the back burner when it's him that we truly ought to seek from the get-go, from the very beginning of all of our problems? And she came and she touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says, I want you to notice this. It says in verse 29, and straightway. You know what that word straightway means? It means immediately. Immediately. There was no process of getting better, unlike the physicians that we see today who give us medication and we hopefully eventually we get over what we have. The Bible says when she came to Jesus, she immediately, and straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And I don't want you to miss this. Pay attention to this. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Immediately she was healed and she felt it. That's a blessing in itself, isn't it? She was healed immediately and she knew it. And she knew that this man was the only one who could remedy her problem. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. I want you to see this. There's this throng of people that's brushing up against Jesus. And they're rubbing elbows and brushing shoulders. And you know, there's just gobs and gobs of people. The Bible in one place calls it a multitude. And he turns around and Jesus says, who touched my clothes?
Yeah.
I don't want to be irreverent this morning. I don't mean to be irreverent, but that's almost comical in a way. All of these people are around the Savior and rushing up against him. And he turns around and he looks at this congregation of people and he says, who touched me? And his disciples says, Lord, you see all these people and you want to know who touched your clothes? Why did Jesus ask that question? Did he ask that question because he wasn't sure who it was?
No.
Was Jesus unsure of the woman, of that person who touched him? No, not the least little bit. I believe he said that because he wanted her to profess that he was the answer for all of her problems, and make that a profession for all of those people to know and believe.
Yeah.
And she was frightened, and she came, the Bible says, trembling, and fell at his feet. Knowing what was done in her, she came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, how dare you touch me? Is that what Jesus said? No, he says, daughter. That's a term of endearment, isn't it? Honey. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be healed of thy plague. I want to encourage us this morning. This woman wasn't dead. She wasn't dead. She was sick. She had a problem that she or nobody else could do anything about. She wasn't dead, or else she couldn't come to the Savior if she was dead. She's like us. We are this woman. Because in this building this morning, there's a multitude of problems. Multitude of issues. I want to encourage us together to take all of our cares and cast them upon Him, because He careth for you. And while He spake, there was one from the ruler's house, Jairus' house. Somebody came up and said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the Master any further?" Let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus was troubled? I mean, do you think Jesus was troubled at the request of Jairus wanting Jesus to come to him? Not in one little bit. You know, I love my job. I tell my students not every day, but weekly, I love what I do. I love spending my day in a classroom of young people. I love spending my life that way. But there are some times, I was telling Dana Friday, that I just about got Mr. Hathaway to death. Mr. Hathaway, can I? And my principal walked in my room Friday afternoon after about 1,057 Mr. Hathaways that day. My principal walked in my room, and as she walked in my room, I didn't see her come in. I had turned to my desk. I had to do something urgent right at my desk. If I didn't do it right then, I'd forget it. And she said, "Mr. Hathaway," and I said, "One moment, please." And I turned around and it was my principal, and she said, "Come here." But you know, Jesus, here's my point. Mr. Hathaway can get impatient a little bit sometimes. You know, Jesus never got impatient. He never felt Jesus to death. Amen. We never find a time in Scripture where He was annoyed by people calling on Him for a need that they had. You ever find a place in Scripture where Jesus was annoyed by His people calling out? No, He thrives, if I could say that. He desires that. Amen. He wants you to come to Him with your problems. Amen. "Why troublest thou the Master any further?" That's a crazy question, because you and I can't trouble the Master with our problems. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Aren't you glad that we can take everything? We can cast all of our cares on Him today and this afternoon and tonight and tomorrow morning's Monday morning. You know what happens on Monday morning. And then the next day, and then we can cast all of our cares on Him. And I want to promise you this by the promise of Scripture. He will never get annoyed of His children crying out to Him at a time of need. "Why troublest thou the Master any further?" It's impossible. He's never annoyed. It's never too late for Him to help. "And when Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He saith to the ruler of the synagogue," and by the way, this is the gospel in a nutshell, "Be not afraid, only believe." Jesus is telling this man, there's nothing for you to be afraid of. I can imagine he may not have rolled his eyes outwardly to the Savior, but I can just imagine that's easy for you to say, Jesus. You didn't just lose your daughter. I don't know that that's what he said, but if it was Michael Hathaway, that's what would be rolling through my mind. Be not afraid. It's kind of like those people that just say, don't worry about it, be happy. Don't worry. And so Jesus goes to the house, and He tells the people at the house that this little girl is not dead, but she sleeps. And the Bible says that they laughed Him to scorn. I'll tell you, that's another example of the compassion and the patience of the Savior. This is the God of the universe, and they are laughing at Him and scoffing at Him. Can you imagine that? They're laughing Him to scorn. This is a crazy man. He don't know what he's talking about. She's dead. And you know what Jesus did when they laughed at Him? The Bible says He put them all out. You know what they're about to do because of their unbelief? What's fixing to happen because of their unbelief? They are about to miss out on the most profound miracle that they could have ever witnessed in their life because of their unbelief. Be not afraid, only believe. Jesus takes the mother and the father of this little girl, and Peter, James, and John, puts everybody out, and he goes to this girl's bedside, and the Bible says that he grabs her by the hand, and he speaks to her, and the translation of what he says is, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." Did he say, "Now, honey, if you'll take my hand, or if you'll just ask me, or if you'll just tell me how much you believe in me and love me, I'll raise you from the dead"? No. She was in a condition, child of God, where she could not do that. She had no ability, and she had no desire to even call out on Jesus. She was dead. And you know, that's a picture of you and I and our nature and our natural state. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "And you have he quickened." Who did the quickening? He did. Amen. At what point? When you were dead in trespasses and in sins. Amen. You and I had no life. We had no desire, no ability, no faith to come to Him, to ask Him, to believe on Him, to ask Him to save us or revive us or regenerate us. I'm going to tell you what Jesus Christ did for you and I in regeneration. This is what He did. He did the same thing to us spiritually as He did to this little girl physically. We have the record of three individuals that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. There's this little girl, she's 12 years old. There's Lazarus, who was an older man. There's a widow's son of Nain. And you know what happens with every one of those? In every one of those, Jesus Himself goes personally. He goes personally to where that dead is. And when He gets to that dead, He speaks directly. He speaks directly to the Lazarus, come forth. Amen. And when He speaks directly to the dead, when He goes personally and He speaks directly, He gives an imperative command. He doesn't give an invitation. He doesn't give an offer. He doesn't give a, "If you do this, I'll do that." He speaks directly, and what He says, every occasion, every one, He speaks directly to the dead, and He says, "Live, Lazarus, come forth. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And the Bible says, in all three of those occasions, He goes personally, He speaks directly, He gives an imperative command, not an invitation. And on every one of those occasions, they do exactly what the Savior tells them to do. The dead come alive. He said in John chapter 5, "The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear it might live." Or have a chance to live. Or be given the opportunity to live. No, He says the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear it shall live. That's exactly what He does to this little girl. Which is a beautiful picture of what He did for us in regeneration. He came right to your condition, child of God. Right to your dead, benighted condition. Of death and trespasses and sins. And He spoke, and you and I live. Isn't that a wonderful message today? And then when she stood up, and verse 42, it says straightway. That's another immediate. When Jesus speaks, things happen immediately. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was at the age of 12 years, and they were astonished. That word literally means ecstatic. I can understand that. Wouldn't you be ecstatic? They were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightway that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. You know, that's the gospel message too. The gospel message is not to feed the dead. It's to feed the living. The Lord has just raised this little girl. She'd been dead, we don't know how, not very long. But she's 12 years old and she's just been raised from the dead. And now he commands her, or commands them, to give her something to eat. So you and I can certainly see ourselves in this little girl. Dead in trespasses and sins we were, until the Savior passed by. And when he passed by and spoke, he spoke life-giving words to the dead soul, and the dead live. I love what that word damsel. I have read that the term damsel, it literally means young girl, young lady, young person. But it's a term of endearment. We might would use it to say darling or honey. That's a beautiful picture to me, the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on this bedside and grabbing this little girl's hand and saying, honey, live. I say unto thee, darling, I say unto thee, arise. I want you to know, child of God, that you are all darlings in the Savior's eyes. You're his darling. You're his darling child, his darling bride. He spoke to you to give you life. And through this life, we have problems. He speaks and makes those problems sometimes go away. Sometimes gives us grace to endure. But there's one more character in this story I want to close with. And that's the father of this little girl. His name is Jairus. Jairus, the name Jairus, I don't want to make too much of his name, but his name literally means one whom God enlightens. Jairus on this day had a little girl that was sick and she died. And he was able to see the Lord Jesus Christ speak to that little girl and give her life again. He was able to see how life, how the dead live, basically. Right. And then and along the way, he was able to see the one who has the answer to life's problems in the here and the now with this woman who came and touched the hem of his garment. Jairus saw that. I tell you, Jairus was a blessed man, wasn't he?
Yes.
To be able to see what he saw and understand, what he was able to understand, that Jesus has the problem, has the answer to death and all the problems in the meantime in life. Jairus was a blessed individual, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He wasn't the woman that had the issue. He wasn't the one that was dead. But he had a problem of his own, didn't he? He knew about his little girl that has passed away. Don't you know that was a tragedy in his life? And you and I, not only are we the damsel that Jesus raised from the dead, not only are you and I the woman with the issues that only Jesus can fix and remedy, but you and I this morning at Cool Springs Church have been blessed to be the Jairus, to be able to see what great things the Lord has done for me.
Amen.
He's raised me from the dead, and he's the answer to all of life's problems.
Amen.
I don't know of a better message to give you this morning, other than, in addition to, one day this same Savior is coming back again. And you know what he's going to say? I don't know what he's going to say. But you know what? In essence, what he's going to say? Darling, arise. And the Bible says at that instant, immediately, when Jesus speaks, things happen immediately. Immediately at that very instant, the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive and remain are going to be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's going to solve that final problem, isn't he? He has the keys to death and hell. I remember one thing he said to his disciples one time in John 10. He says, I am come that ye might have life. He showed us that with a little girl, that little 12-year-old girl. He says, and that ye may have it more abundantly. I'm thankful that you and I can enjoy not only the life that he gives, but I'm thankful that you and I can meet out at Cool Springs Church and enjoy that life more abundantly under the sound of a finished, accomplished Savior. Blessed be his name this morning. May God bless you is my prayer.